And we are joined now in the studio by the guy who reminded me that that was going on a few minutes ago, Scott Washington, with another round of History Matters, a look back at this week in history.
Great to be here. And, you know, history just keeps happening all around. You feel like a kid in a candy store. Somebody, look, there's something going on. That's the Tar Heel mascot. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I love being in this new place where we've got the window that looks outside and we can see the street, the parking lot, the weather when things are happening. But I only have a view of maybe 10% of the parking lot, and there are oftentimes really cool things that happen over there. Chapel Hill Farmers Market is right across the parking lot, which I can't see from my vantage point. The bus is over there right now. So it's good to have people come in and say, hey, you know, just this on the other side of the window and on the other side of that wall there.
Well, and, you know, it's a two-way street because people can actually come here and see live radio being made right now. You know, bring a lawn chair, sit down, bring a sandwich and a drink and your radio.
That's fun,
Yes, awesome. Exactly. Which seems appropriate because this is this unplugged week in which you unplug from your electronics at some point, but hopefully you don't. You have your battery-operated radio, and you can tune in to.
Does that count if you're unplugging from your electronics? Wouldn't battery-powered electronics also?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm fine with battery-powered radios working. Yeah.
I think that's. Maybe a little bit different.
It's unplugged week, right?
That's
so
right.
You unplug, but
that's
you can still have battery powered.
That's
things.
Right.
All
I
right,
that's
that makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, speaking of things like technology, it's hard to believe 1983 is when IBM introduced one of the first personal computers called a PC XT.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these were mammoth things, often called Big Red because of the switch to turn it on in the back. Only had 640 kilobytes of RAM. Not gigs.
Right.
Kilobytes.
Yeah. That is a lot at the time.
A 10 megabyte hard disk. Not gigs, just 10 megabyte hard disk was a big thing. And the color monitor was a choice between green or amber.
I still remember when I was growing up, when I was really young, like 3 or 4 years old, this was still in the age when nobody had a computer.
Yeah.
And my grandparents had some friends who had a computer. Like, that was the level we were at.
Yeah.
We knew someone who had a computer. And there were a couple times when we would be over there for whatever reason, and they would let me, like, play on the computer, and they had the coolest thing of all time, which was a dot matrix printer, you know, one of those like and the little thing on the side that you tore off.
That's right. Those are the glory days of
like when I was in middle school. Actually, they still had dot matrix printers, like even when I was 10, 11 years old, like that was still what they were doing.
And, you know, so much of what
I'm old, y'all. This is just how it is.
Back
in my day, they had these little strips of paper that you had to rip off.
Water.
Yeah.
Mud was a big boop, and it was a problem back then.
And we liked it.
We liked it.
We were happy to have it.
But, you know, as we have found in these weeks when we're looking at history, that sometimes it really is as much a history of inventions like this that have totally changed our lives in ways we go, well, of course we always had computers. And it's like, well, not always, but
very recently, in fact.
Well, there's a fellow this week, born March 4th, 1877, named Garrett Morgan, African-American businessman, only had a sixth grade education, started repairing Singer sewing machines, and then got kind of restless and looked at other things and came up with an invention for a smoke hood that became very popular with American firefighters at the turn of the last century, because he knew that air down at the ground was cleaner than obviously the smoke.
Right.
He invented this mask so that people could wear this hood and the air would come up from the ground. And that was immensely popular with firefighters. It really did save lots of
lives.
Very
cool, yeah.
So,
and we're talking about technology, and I got to mention this week in history, not just the computer, but also the telephone patented this week.
Yes, that's right. Well, of course, Mr. Bell, Graham Bell, who also said his first words were something like, come here or something like that.
Come here, Watson, I need you, something like
and
that.
And he's in the next room. And I always wondered what was his reaction. Well, why didn't you just knock and not come over? Why did you call?
Well, that's fine because the second phone call is, hello, we are calling you to... let you know that your warranty
Take
has
me off
expired.
The list.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a huge, huge thing. That I think we can say, oh yeah, our lives, would they be the same if we didn't have phones and computers? And
probably
now we have
phones
that are computers, so that's the final.
See, yeah, now everyone carries around a phone and a computer with them, which is the smartphone, the next thing in technology. And like we're sitting here having this conversation 20 years ago.
Right.
The cell phone was a thing 20 years ago, obviously,
but
we would never have been able to anticipate just how important it would be to our lives. So 20 years from now, there's going to be some piece of technology that don't even know of or cannot imagine today, or might be able to imagine, but wouldn't think how ubiquitous it's going to be.
And you can also stream not only this show, but any of WCHL right on your smartphone.
Yeah.
Just dial it up, and there's
JohnWoodborough.com.
It's
not
even,
your phone isn't just a computer. It's also a TV, a radio, a movie theater now, basically.
And there may be people listening on their phones right now.
An encyclopedia?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an important thing.
But set it on your passenger seat. 10 and 2, hands at 10 and 2.
Very important.
Turn the volume up. Toss it over to the side.
Okay,
there you go.
Now you think everything is light, but I am going to mention Fayetteville this week because Fayetteville actually plays a couple of moments in history this week. On March 4th, 1825, the Marquis de Lafayette visited Fayetteville, a town named after him in 1783. He'd just never been there and wasn't really planning to come, but then some people invited him. He said, well, okay, I'll come. You know, that's amazing. I'm not sure that everybody in Fayetteville knows that the town is named after them.
There's a lot of Fayettes. and Fayettevilles that are all, I think, named after Lafayette.
Well,
that,
and here is a wonderful little bit of history that involves Fayetteville that, again, is something I didn't know. Babe Ruth hit his first home run in Fayetteville.
Nice.
Now, that should make everybody feel a little taller and prouder there in Fayetteville, if you're listening down there.
When he was in the minor leagues. And this was this is 1914, so this is
right
before he got called up to the major leagues year. So,
Yeah, he blows up. But to think that's where he was. Gets his start. He has a Carolina connection, which is kind of it is an awesome thing.
Yeah.
There's also an interesting kind of a connection here. 1836, the fall of the Alamo down in Texas. But what probably people don't know, and thanks to the good folks at the Department of Archives, they found that there was an actual North Carolina native, Makaya Autry, who died defending the Alamo, born in Sampson County around 1794. Moved to Tennessee, met Davy Crockett, got persuaded, go to Texas, and he writes very glowing letters about being down there, but he's one of the people who dies defending the Alamo. Yeah, which is, I just never realized there was that kind of connection.
And a lot of the people who were in Texas and declared independence were settlers who had moved there from other places, right? So, I would imagine.
Also, this week is when we have some also pretty interesting history. And we think of January 20th as the Inauguration Day, but that only was the result of the 20th Amendment to the Constitution. Before then, it was always in early March when people first took they were sworn in.
Which was a really big deal at the time because Election Day was still November, so you elect a president, and then it's another 6 months before that president actually takes office.
And part of the reason to move that is because all these lame duck people then were trying to pass legislation and, feathering their pockets, and people said, enough.
Gosh, I can't imagine that happening today.
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing thing. But then March 4th, 1933 is when Franklin Roosevelt begins his first term, and begins with that first inauguration speech, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, which is just amazing, given a fellow who I think brought such hope to the country. 1921, he's 39 years old, he's stricken with polio, had a rising career, he's eminently wealthy, and then drops out for the bunch of years, and of course he has a major part in Warm Springs. The thought, well, maybe the therapeutic waters will help. Didn't help him, but interestingly enough, in 1938, he's trying to raise money for it, so he mentions something to Eddie Cantor about raising money. They were appealing to the public. And at that time, there were in some of the movie reels something called the March of Time. Mm-hmm. And so Eddie Cantor makes a joke about it. They say, oh, wouldn't it be great to have the March of Dimes if everybody sent a dime into the White House? Do you know they had 2,680,000 dimes into the White House? And all of that money, $268,000, went to help fund Dr. Jonas Salk when he was developing the polio vaccine that was in 1955. And a good thing, because that was such a huge, devastating illness for people. 100,000 cases in the 1930s, the early 1940s. From 1937 to 1955, 415,000 cases. So really, really significant. And then after they did this, it dropped off. And in 2017, there were only 16 cases worldwide.
Wow.
You know, isn't that remarkable? So,
That's great.
All because of a dimes, you know, what a difference. So when you look at that dime and you see that fella, you go, oh, yes, you know, what a tremendous legacy.
And the is that why FDR is on the dime? Is that the reason for that? I've never made that. I know that story, but I've never made that connection.
I believe so. I think that connection, which is.
It's also a really interesting story about interest groups and organizations, because you have all of these interest groups that form, and more often than not, they're formed to kind of advocate on behalf of a certain group of people or for a particular cause or for a particular interest. Very rarely do you have a moment where an interest group 100% succeeds in their mission and they say, well, we won, we did it, what do we do next? And there was a discussion about, oh, do we now disband the March of Dimes or do we keep going and find another cause? And they decided to do that. But that was an interesting moment as well.
Yes, but it's you know, great to see the power of small things can make a big difference.
Yep.
This is also the week, and it's a funny thing, but we just have to at least acknowledge it. 1959 is when Mattel introduced the iconic doll on March 9th, 1959, Barbie.
60 years ago.
60 years ago. And, you know, but this is also a week where we have Frances Perkins becoming the first woman appointed to the U.S. President's cabinet.
On the day that FDR was inaugurated, he's appointing his cabinet.
Yes, and stays the entire time through one of the longest serving cabinet members until Truman comes in. She is the driving force behind the minimum wage, overtime laws, 40-hour work week, Social Security. I mean, this is extraordinary. I'm thinking, you know, Mattel could have a whole new line of dolls with extraordinary women like Frances Perkins. Or this week is also when we celebrate Harriet Tubman Day on March 10th. And it's to celebrate this amazing woman, African-American abolitionist, humanitarian, armed scout and spy, born into slavery. She escapes and then goes back to help bring people out of slavery. Yep. I mean, a remarkable story. Wouldn't it be fun to have some new Mattel dolls like that?
That could work.
Yeah, it could work, yeah.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, we got time for one more. What do you got?
Okay, well, I think we have to at least admit this or celebrate this birthday. 1451, March 9th, Amerigo Vespucci is born, Italian explorer for whom America is named.
There you go.
There you go.
And that's how it all begins.
That's why history matters.
History matters. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.